Titans Call is a D&D 5e actual play podcast containing mature themes and adult language. Listener discretion is advised. With that, welcome to episode 12 of Titans Call, a double DM-produced D&D 5e actual play podcast of mysteries and monsters. I am your host, Emil, your dungeon master, and also, you could say, the one that makes my players sweat
suffer,
apparently. So...
No, he just fills us with joy.
You already heard two of my players, so why doesn't one of you two go ahead and introduce themselves to our audience if this is the first episode they are listening to, which hopefully isn't the case. Go back to listen to episode one. But if you are and need a refresher on my players, please, my players, go ahead.
Hi, I'm Zunke. I'm playing as Curadian Does Good. I'm thrilled to be here. And, well, let's see if we get convicted and thrown into jail. Wouldn't be the first time for me in a role-playing game.
Good that you had to specify not the first time for me in a role-playing game, as if first time for me wouldn't have been enough, because I don't think you have been thrown in jail as a player.
Yeah, but that's none of our listeners' concerns, I hope.
You never know who's listening.
That's true.
All right, I'm Smurf, and I'm playing Maisie Graves, and currently I'm on my second coffee, if you've been listening to the previous episode.
Because our audience doesn't know that we record two episodes every time. Because it would have been weird if you had taken a week for the second coffee.
Well, she's a coffee enjoyer, a coffee connoisseur. Not like other people here who are just like, well, I was six coffee today.
What? Hi, I'm Niels, by the way. I'm on my sixth coffee right now, so yes, I am thrilled to be here. I can't wait to see if we are going to jail or not. We will see, but classic D&D says you have to be in jail at least once in a campaign, so let's hope it's not the time yet. So yeah.
Well, but if it's the time yet, we have it behind us.
True.
That's the smart move.
That's the smart move. I think with that, every one of us is ready to dive into the episode today, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Yahoo.
That was a weird sound by Zunge, but okay.
That needs to be clipped and get on the soundboard.
No, the thing is, our audience cannot even hear our soundboard, so if I do this, no one knows.
Oh, no.
Because what our listeners do not know, we use Zencastr to record. By the way, use Zencastr if you're doing a podcast. Zencastr, please sponsor us. But there's also a soundboard attached that I can, as the one that does the recording for us, can play sounds for my players to hear that do not get played in the recording.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Okay, perfect. Let's dive into episode 12 of Double DM. And not of Double, of Titans.
Of WDM's
actual play, Titans Call, a mystery and monster show. No, it's D&D, but a show of mysteries and monsters. Last time we left off, you guys were walking back to the refugee camp. You wanted to take a good night's rest and recuperate in the morning and maybe try to find a way to get more information. But as you were walking through the streets of the city of Bark, you realized that there was something in an alleyway next to you. Some weird metallic autonomous creatures made their way towards you. Spiders, scorpions, and this weird head with a big, big mouth and lots of jagged, rusty teeth. And a flying helicopter crossbow. And those things attacked you. You defended yourself against these creatures that seemingly wanted your equipment, And as you struck them down, Macy was left wounded heavily after one of the small scorpions crawled under her armor and pierced her skin a few times before she pierced her skin herself with her own dagger. But then Caradian shot the scorpion away before Macy could be killed by it. Then the guard came and investigated the crime scene and took you into the guard post to investigate, to take your statements, to make sure every one of you is safe and find out what happened. You entered the guard building and you saw this weird translucent person behind the counter. And the guards that brought you in say to this person, "Hush, can you get these folks situated? They say they got attacked by some weird automatons." The person behind the counter says in this weird, echoey, hushed, but still loud enough voice, "Please, folks, if you can tell me your names and what happened exactly, so we can have an investigator with you shortly."
"Well, hello, I am Aiden French.
Aiden French.
We were attacked by automatons of some sort."
"Automatons, okay."
"Yes, these sort of automatons."
They are starting to write this down and take your statement, basically, your initial statement.
"Some sort of scorpion-esque automaton, a spider."
"Scorpions, yes."
"Automaton, a flying crossbow wireframe thing."
"Flying crossbow wire thing, okay."
"And a big head on a wheel."
"Big head on wheel."
"And I'm supposed to sit over there?"
Yeah, just take a seat."
"And then I'll make my way there and sit down."
"The other two, what are your names?"
"Kawaii and Duskwood."
Looks at Macy.
Macy Graves. Do you want to know what happened?"
"I think I know what happened."
"You do?"
"Mr. Fridge told me."
"I'm going to take a seat next to
you." "Do you want to know what happened to us?"
"I think that's what he told me." "You got attacked by weird creatures. Weird automatons, right?"
"Yes, why are we whispering?"
"I am not whispering."
I would like to clean my wounds, if that's okay."
"Oh, you need a doctor. Yes, let me get the doctor. Please take a seat."
"Thank you." And I would go and take a seat.
And shortly after, they come back with a doctor, with this... they do not look like a doctor, but they seem to be a cleric of some kind. They have some basic armor and a white coat under it and a holy symbol that you do not recognize necessarily on their armor and also on their gloves. And they come towards you and say, "Are you the one that is in need of medical assistance?" And look at Macy with the blood streaming all over, with all the blood stains on your side.
I think I need some.
"Have you ever been healed by magic before?"
"I don't remember."
"Okay, then this might feel weird for the first time, but please remember that this is gonna be okay."
"Okay."
And is gonna cast Cure Wounds on you, and you heal 11 points of damage, and it feels suddenly as if the pain you had in your side the whole time coming through this guard barrack just subsides. It isn't gone. There's still this lingering small burning pain, but it's not as if you've been stabbed.
"Thank you. It feels really weird, but really good. I wish I could do that."
"Many people do, but only a few can. If you need something else, please do not hesitate to call for me. I might have a few other tricks up my sleeve if you need them."
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much."
And then goes again away and seems to go to some kind of doctor's room that you can see once they open the door and close it behind.
"Excuse me?
The doctor or who
doctor?
Do you?" "Yes?
Could you help me remove these bolts?"
"Oh, you you had these bolts stuck in..." "Okay, I thought Caradian would have removed them already, but okay." Okay, yeah, obviously the doctor comes over again. "Oh, I'm so terribly sorry for not noticing. I was only told about a girl needing treatment." Of course, yes, we can remove these." Looks you up and down and pulls out this weird wooden thing and basically bite down on this. "Hard.
Will do."
Then proceeds to pull these bolts out. Yeah, it doesn't do any more damage, but it already... And they treat the wounds a little bit, sanitize it, and then patch it up a bit with, I don't know, a few bandages. And then look at Aiden. "Do you also need something, sir?"
"No, I'm fine."
"Okay.
But thanks."
Okay. And then get us off once again. Yeah, and this weird translucent person basically says to you, "It will be a few minutes before our investigator can speak to you." And you guys sit there in the guard barracks. What do you do?
Are there any other people around?
Currently not. You're the only one sitting there. But there are guards walking through the halls. There are people working in this in a specific area that seems to be some kind of working area for these people. That seems where they file and categorize documents. You see some doors that lead away. You see a stair that goes up. That a few people go up and down nearly every minute or so. It isn't really that busy, but it's busy.
Is there anyone like looking at us or, you know, taking care that we don't just leave?
Well, there are two guards outside the building at the entrance. The receptionist, this translucent person, kind of isn't looking directly at you, but they would notice when you guys started moving.
Okay, but we're not...
You're not actively watched.
We're not prisoners in that sense.
You guys are basically here to give a statement, not to be interrogated, but give a statement.
All right, then I would like to just keep calm, not open my wound again, and think about what happened.
Sure.
Because it was certainly odd.
And did you guys notice that the spider thing tried to get this bag where we put the books from that the professor gave us, and in general wanted our stuff rather than just harm? I find it kind of odd, especially in regard to the other four creatures that seem to just wanted to hurt or kill us even.
Also, I'm wondering how they knew. I'm wondering whether they chose us and they knew about the books we've been carrying, or if we've been chosen just randomly, been, you know, wrong time, wrong place and everything. But, you know, it kind of seems a bit too much to be a coincidence only.
Most definitely, yes.
Do you guys think they are related to the beings?
Beings are so much prettier and they don't sting.
And they don't make that horrifying clicking sound. And the beings aren't that rusty.
But it's like, I think, is there anything closer to the things that attacked us than the beings that you know of?
No.
I mean, they looked like rusty homemade budget beings.
I like the name budget beings. Sorry.
Yeah, I think the only correlation between those is that they're all automatons, some sort of machinery.
And probably held together by magic, right?
Maybe, but you were the one researching runes and magic, so I guess you're the expert for that now.
I mean, we found this piece of paper, and we learned that sometimes people who can cast magic write stuff down on paper to do magic, and...
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if it's too far-fetched.
That's right. I would like to look at the piece of paper that I pulled out of the spider.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything on that?
It's an empty piece of paper.
Empty piece of paper, okay.
You have a piece of paper if you want to write that down, if you want to ever take notes in-game. But you have an empty piece of paper.
Okay, there's nothing written on that, but... definitely weird.
I mean, maybe something was written on it and got destroyed or like erased. I wish we could, you know, do magic ourselves, but oh well.
Here we are.
Also, what else did you find? Some beads and stones and stuff?
Yeah, these small little beads from the scorpion things. This little crystal thing. This was on the flying crossbow wire thing, if I remember correctly.
So each of those budget beings had a thing not belonging to, well, such a creature.
Was there anything for that on the chomper?
Yeah. Some sort of cloth, really. Yeah, there's a piece of clothing in there that does not come from you guys.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering who built them, because... I mean, I know that I wouldn't be able to build such a thing, and it's probably someone with proficiency in that. But as far as I understood, like, there's this one guy who builds things, and...
Harry Potter talks then, yeah.
I mean, they looked weird. Like, I mean, they were made out of household materials, but if there's many people who are able to build such things, that could be potentially dangerous, I would say.
Whoever, there aren't many people who can build this. These things are dangerous, as we just experienced ourselves.
Hmm.
But whoever built those, I most definitely would like to have a word with them, or this person in general, just talk for at first, and then regarding the information we get from that, or we would get.
Well, maybe the guards will be able to help. Maybe they know who, well, has the needed knowledge to build something like that. If they believe us in the first place, right?
That is on a completely different piece of paper.
Big paper. Because, well, they didn't look that convinced.
It seemed like they didn't. They did not believe us, but they didn't completely believe the story itself.
Well, which would mean that such budget beings are not a common thing here, because if they were, they would certainly be like, oh yeah, we have issues with those.
Yeah, and I hope that it is. This sort of thing isn't a regular occurrence.
Oh, so do I.
in any city, really.
Yeah.
Well, the only other automatons you've ever seen were the Bing system, so just pointing that out.
Maybe we should ask the Bings if they know something.
Well, first we have to get out of here, and then,
I take a look at the open door. Oh, that doesn't look like it'd be a problem.
We can't leave right now. No.
We shouldn't leave right now.
Yeah. Also, we should maybe look at the books first. I mean, if they are the reason we got attacked, maybe we're onto something. I wouldn't do that here, though, because I don't know how long we'll have to wait, and maybe it's easier if we sit down and go through the books at the same time and compare and, you know. I would like to close my eyes and rest until we are called in.
I mean, all of you can take a short rest if you want one.
A short rest? Short rest?
A short rest, yeah. A mechanical D&D short rest is allowed to be taken because you wait at least half an hour before an investigator comes towards you. And I am saying that that's enough for a short rest for you. So you can take a short rest.
Then I heal this 1 point of damage that I had, wherever that came from.
You probably deserved it.
Yeah.
What does this short rest do?
You can use your hit die to heal yourself.
So I have to roll my die, right?
Yeah.
All right.
And I get my action surge back.
If a fight ensues in the guard barracks, you're ready for action.
I get my trick shots back. Oh, fine, short or long rest.
I shouldn't have given you a short rest when I have no short rests anymore. Fuck those.
I don't know where my hit die is.
It's a d8. You are rogue, right?
Yeah.
You have four. You have four of them.
You decide how many hit dice you want to roll, up to four, 1 to 4, and that is how much HP you heal.
Plus your con modifier times the used hit die. Huh?
So say you roll two hit dice.
Yeah.
Then you roll 2d8 plus your con times 2.
Plus 2 then. All right. I would like to do that, actually.
Then do that. And after probably 40 minutes or so. Yeah, no. Do you want to do anything in this short rest still? Is there something you want
Aiden?
To do? Or
do you know where I can get new arrows and stuff?
Here in this city, I don't. But we could look in the marketplace tomorrow if we see anything.
I mean, I would say you guys have seen an archery or something.
Oh, okay.
So you wouldn't know that there are places where you can get your arrows back. You've been in the city quite some time now, so yeah.
Okay, you can just buy them, I guess.
I wouldn't see why not.
Great.
But I mean, we are at the guard barracks, so you could ask if it's legal to buy just arrows. Where would you ask if not here?
I right? stand up, go to the reception, to our translations, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
Is it legal to buy arrows in the city?
Blinks at you twice. Yes, of course it is legal to buy arrows in the city.
Thanks.
And blinks twice more and then goes back to whatever they were doing behind the desk.
Yep, it's legal.
Well, then that's that.
Anything else you guys want to do or just rest?
Rest for now.
Just want to know if you guys want to do something, Caradian. You look like you want to say something.
Well,
the way he's already starting, I know it's gonna be good.
Well, I'm just, after probably around 10 minutes of sitting there and waiting, Caradian would probably take, go to his stuff, take out a bedroll, lie on the floor and just lie down.
Caradian?
What?
What are you doing?
Waiting and resting.
What? Why with the bedroll?
Because it's more comfortable.
To sleep in a bedroll on the floor than sitting on a chair and just waiting a bit.
Yeah. Also a problem with lying on the floor.
I would say for me it's not as comfortable, but whatever. Just wanted to ask if everything's all right.
Everything's all right.
So the few guards that have to walk around you look kind of confused, but they do not mention it at all. They've never seen someone just lie down in their guard barracks, but they also don't think that it's that much of an inconvenience that they have to say something about it.
Yeah, well, I was, you know, in my head, deciding if I should just take the bedroll or if I should put out a tent. That's why I was laughing to myself a bit.
He was thinking about putting a tent in the guard barracks.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure.
That's why you laughed. I didn't have to know, but you decided to tell me anyway.
Yeah, of course.
Which makes this even worse.
Always great to be here.
So after you guys have waited roughly 30 to 45 minutes, someone comes down the stairs. This blue dragonborn with a horn growing out of their snout has a somewhat tired look on their face. Their scales are a bit paler than most other dragonborns you've seen. They stand at roughly 7 feet and 4 inches tall. That's roughly 2.2 meters. Their clothes look a bit worn and tattered, as if they have been at their job since the early morning and still have to take you guys in as well. They quickly say something to Hush that you do not understand before walking straight towards you guys. Looks with a weird, confused face at Caradian, then looks at the other two and says, "Welcome, folks. I am sorry for having you wait. I know this day must have been already stressful enough for you. My name is Gestrin Hungerwall. Please follow me to my office."
I get up and follow.
I follow as well.
Yeah.
Gestrin, you said?
Gestrin Hungerwall.
Pull my backboard together and then follow also.
Okay, so you pack up your things, you go up the stairs, the second floor where there's a bunch of doors and offices, and they lead you to this one office. You see the small office room filled with a desk and a few chairs, a window outside onto the streets, a big file cabinet, and a few books. There's scattered paper around the room, everywhere on the floor and on the desk. This dragonborn gestures for you guys to take a seat, and then takes a seat as well and yawns once more. Takes a good few seconds to look at you guys. Okay, I was assigned your case. So please, if you don't mind, walk me through the events that led up to you now sitting in front of me.
Well, we were at the library to do some research, and after we landed a few books, we just wanted to go back to the refugee camp to take a good night's rest. And on our way there, we were attacked by these automaton creatures. They kind of ambushed us in a way. They came out of a dark alleyway and directly charged at us. Then the fight ensued, and we dispatched them.
Okay.
Soon after that, the guards came and took us in.
So you said automatons.
Exactly.
As you say that, they take up a piece of paper and start writing some stuff down. Do you have any idea why you would be attacked by this machinery?
Not really, no. That was something that we asked ourselves as well.
You said you were refugees. You're from Andorras.
Exactly.
This has never happened to you before, right?
No, it has not. At least not to me.
The others?
No.
No, I haven't even seen something like that ever before.
You have never seen automatons before?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Automatons, we did see them, but not like rusty and the ones you were made out of household items?
Household items, you say?
Yeah, here I have the pieces of one of the automatons here. And just lay out the small scorpion thing.
And he begins to take his cold pen or something and just poke at it and turn it around a bit and look at it. Still listening to you guys, but focused on this machinery now.
And they were trying, or at least one of the automatons was trying to get our bag for whatever reason.
It was trying to get your bag.
One of the creatures did, yes.
Do you mind sharing what you have in your bag?
Not at all. And just pull out the books that we have in the bag.
What else do you have in the bag?
There would be a fishing tackle in there, some crossbow bolts and a crossbow, a net, a bedroll, a mess kit, some rations, a bit of rope, a tinderbox, some torches, a water skin, and the three books. That would be the contents of my bag.
And he says, well, probably they weren't going fishing, so what of these items do you think these things were after?
The most sense to me would be the books.
Looks at the books. What are these books?
I have forgotten the names of the books if you gave us.
You have three names. Yes, I gave you the names. Legends of Long Past Lives, The Mysteries of Oria, and the book At the Edge of the World, a Voyage Book. All three kind of more or less history books. One of them more talks into a novel direction, the other is more of a synopsis, but they're all basically history books. So you think they were after these books?
I mean, maybe after the weapon, but...
after the weapons.
But
that makes sense. That makes sense.
My guess would be not, because they were already equipped with weapons, partially made out of weapons, so I doubt that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, one of the automatons was a flying crossbow, basically.
It could fly.
Yeah, one of them did.
That's going to open up a lot of possibilities.
This flying crossbow wireframe thing shot Mr. Dust.
And you're saying one of them looked like a spider?
Yes.
And two like scorpions?
Exactly.
But there wasn't a caterpillar, right?
No.
Okay, write that down.
Why a caterpillar?
Have you seen one?
Well, I haven't seen one. But there is a reason why it took so long to find an investigator for your case, after all. Looks at you three again. One of you make a charisma check, whoever wants to go, whoever wants to do that.
If no one's taking that, I'm going to do that.
Yeah, that's what's my... If no one wants to, I will.
Yeah, well, then I'll go ahead.
Whoever wants... Make me, please.
That would be a 22.
Okay. I think we two are kind of the opposite on the scale of charisma checks.
So they look at you guys. Oh, well, yes, there was an automaton caterpillar that was sighted roughly a week ago. It invaded on someone's home, their privacy, and has stolen something from their home. They saw the thing, they were nearly attacked by it, but ran away. But the thing, whatever it was, this automaton, stole them something. They stole a book. So if you say that they were after these books, that would mean that these two things would be very much connected. But since there wasn't a caterpillar at your attack, it seems that these things navigate in bigger numbers than we expected so far.
Would you be able to share with us where this attack was, or where this invasion was from this caterpillar thing?
I'm actually not supposed to give out that information to civilians.
Understood.
Can you tell us whether or not the stolen book was owned by the library?
It was an item that that man bought for themselves. For their kid, I think. It wasn't a library-owned book. It was an own property.
Do you know what the topic of the book was?
As far as we know, we haven't been able to get a copy of the book yet, but the book is called Elven Folklore for Kids.
I guess that kind of makes sense.
Does it?
I mean, the theme fits.
I mean, we don't know what's in the book Elven Folklore for Kids specifically, but they might share some information with the books that we are having.
Yeah, or at least are kind of adjacent topic-wise.
So you're saying that these things, whatever they are after books?
That would make the most sense to me right now, yes.
And they are after specific books that contain information.
I wouldn't want to exactly say that's the case, but it makes the most sense right now, at least to me.
And what would you say? I'm asking you.
I can't confirm your hypothesis, obviously, but I would...
Then what is yours?
I would come to the exact same conclusion as you.
Okay.
That they are after some sort of information, whatever this information might be.
Mm-hmm. And you do not know what information they are after. They've attacked you after all. They've attacked you pretty badly, and looks at Macy. Even though you're healed, you have still a lot of blood on you.
I will probably have to clean myself sometime soon, because it probably looks disturbing.
Yeah, it does.
They didn't tell us what they were after, so...
I mean, why did you want these books?
We are searching for information about the Titan that attacked our city.
Raises both of their non-existent eyebrows. Okay. And you do not think these things are after the same information as you?
Maybe, I don't know. I have a quick question for you.
Okay.
I don't know what you have heard about the thing that attacked Andoros, but would you call it a titan? Would you call it a giant? Would you call it a colossal? Or
I don't really care what to call it.
Okay.
It's a monster, right?
Yeah, kind of animal behavior, but yeah.
If it behaves like an animal, it doesn't look like an animal.
Yeah, not like an animal.
See? So your case is telling me that they are after books. They've stolen a book before. They've attacked you for books.
The question is it books or is it what the books are about?
Is there a difference?
Well, maybe they are not after all books. Or maybe they are after all books because they just want knowledge.
I understand, yeah. Well, is that connected? And begins writing some stuff down.
Just for my clones, anyone can go to the library, get a library card, and take a look at these books, right?
Yes, library cards should be free. Everyone should have one. I also have one.
And I take a look at Aiden, that's just what we did, right?
Yes.
So, if someone really wants to look into these books, why not go to the library?
I mean, the first book they wanted wasn't from the library.
Yeah, but what's the reason to attack us for books that are open source?
Well, if they were at the library while you took the books out and wanted to take the same books as you, maybe whoever sent these things went to extreme measures to get the books they wanted.
Hmm.
You were only attacked after you took the books out.
Yes, but we have to return the books, right?
Well, yes, obviously. It's a library card. You do not own the books.
Hmm.
Was there someone with you when you took the books out that could have seen you take the books out and wanted to take these books as well?
No. So yes, there was someone with us, but...
There was someone with you, or was there not someone
with you? No, there was someone with us, but I don't think that he wanted to take the books for himself, because he basically gave them to us and said, take a look at these, they might help.
Can you please give me the name of this person?
Of course I can give you the name if you give me a second. Professor Grambard.
Professor Grambard. I know this person. Writes the name down, circles it 2 times, puts the paper away. I'm gonna be honest with you guys, you seem more competent than normal folks. You clearly seem to be able to dispatch of these things. I have a question. Do you guys think that an attack on a bookstore could be connected to this mystery of automatons attacking books or wanting books?
There's a possibility that it's connected.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe.
So you have the same thought as I have. There could be a connection.
Yeah.
Okay.
Ugh. So was there an attack on a bookstore?
Well, there was a homicide in the bookstore, yes. 3 days ago, a dwarf got attacked in his bookstore and... Well, when the neighbors found him, his jaw was bitten off.
The what?
His jaw was bitten off.
Was it somewhere next to him?
No.
Or was it just gone?
It was gone. And there was a commotion in the bookstore. Lots of shelves thrown around, scattered around the floor everywhere. We still don't know what was taken, but we assume it was books. Because the cash registry was still untouched. So they weren't after money. And if someone is after these books, I think that there's a connection here. I think that this was the third attack and not the second attack.
Were you able to find out which books were missing?
We weren't able to find which books were missing from the bookstore, no. This dwarf wasn't very good at keeping inventory.
Oh, so there were no, I don't know, papers on buying books? Because, I mean, he had to buy his books somewhere, I assume.
Yeah, probably, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we can probably find out where he bought his books.
I mean, if you found out that, and if you know what books are left, then you, well, you know, might find out which books are missing.
That's gonna take a long time, but yeah, we can do that. That's a good point.
And do you know where the first attacked person got the book that was stolen?
No, they bought it somewhere a long time ago.
A long time
said.
Ago, okay.
Well, some time ago. I don't know how long. Their son is 3 years old. They bought it when their son was born, so...
Yeah, I just thought maybe if it has been bought recently...
Mm-mm.
It may,
that,
yeah.
That is not the case. It has mm-hmm. been in their possession for quite some time now. And you're sure that you do not have any reason why someone would want you ill? Is there someone that wants you ill?
In the city, in general,
In general.
Maybe the people that attack the city of Andorras?
Yeah, I mean, we try to stop them.
People attacked Andorras.
Well, it's complicated.
Yeah, this
yes
wasn't just...
and no.
Yes, that's complicated. Okay, so there, you're saying that there is people that want you dead. Do you think that they would be able to build these things?
Possibly.
I have no real idea what's needed to build these things, but at least one of them seemed to know magic, so I guess it's
these
not
things
possible.
Were built with magic?
I have no idea how these things were built, but speaking with the beings, it seems like they were built with magic. Well, at least that's mm-hmm. what I heard from them, so...
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. And given that I don't know any other automatons, I guess, uh-huh. maybe
okay.
two.
Okay, he's also writing that down. And these people, do they have any kind of things that make them memorable? Is there any way you can identify them?
They were wearing a uniform.
How did that uniform look like?
Dark blue with golden lining, gray undergarments.
Okay, blue and gray. That's all.
Yeah, with golden lining. Do you remember more, Aiden?
I just remember this weird half-mask thing they were after in the temple.
They were after a mask?
Mm-hmm.
Are you really saying that? I, as your master, as your game master, have to ask, is that really what you're saying?
Let's go with yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So, blue and gray clothing with golden lining. Got it. Well, I think you guys are not guilty of any crimes, except you defended yourself against whatever these things were. I've taken your statements. I see all of you must be exhausted and hurt, so I would say we're done here. Thank you for your cooperation. Might be that we come back to you for some further questioning if we have further information. You live in the refugee camp, right?
Exactly.
Yes.
Okay, that allows me to at least find you. I know your names. So, I say we're done here, and you can leave.
Thanks for listening to us, and I hope everything will be okay.
And he gestures towards the door, and you guys are allowed to leave.
Yeah, I would stand up and leave.
Okay, you can do that.
I'd do the same.
Perfect, you can do that as well.
Let's go.
Nee, no, he missed you again.
You fall back to your chair.
He didn't even realize it.
Armrest cluck locks but you in.
But Caradian tied you to your chair. Caradian tied your shoelaces together. And now, a word from our sponsors. Today's episode is brought to you by our friends at Homie and the Dude and their new Kickstarter, The Wandering Tavern. Just like their last Kickstarter, Sky Sephiroth, they will deliver incredible content for you to get immersed in a new and unique location inspired by the works of Studio Ghibli, full with plot hooks, mystery, threats, and everything else you will need for a campaign of your favorite TTRPG. Packed into this one system-agnostic location. Included in this Kickstarter are 15 giant battle maps, 33 NPCs ready to be used, 30 different engaging and interesting plot hooks, 18 new magical items ready and waiting for your players, and 13 setting-themed recipes, new mechanics, and a whole of world-building features for you to use. The Wandering Tavern is 100% human-created with absolutely no AI involvement. So if you're convinced like me, check the link in the description for the Kickstarter and go right ahead and back today. And I will see you in the Wandering Tavern. You left the office. So what do you do?
Well, we still have a few books to read.
Yeah. First, I would like to leave the barracks.
Yeah, sure. Let's head to the camp.
I would like to visit the marketplace first.
Isn't everything closed down already?
I have no idea.
Didn't we see all the shops slowly closing down right before we got attacked?
There were shops closing down. Maybe they are still open. Maybe not. You've seen shops closing, yes?
I mean, we're not that far away, so I guess we can have a look.
So sure. You leave the guard barracks, and as you leave, this translucent person behind the counter basically says, thank you for your cooperation.
Bye.
You're welcome.
Bye. You're welcome.
Bye.
Bye.
They don't want to say I see you again because that wouldn't work in a guard barrack.
Bye.
Yeah, you can leave. And now you're outside. It's dark. Sun has been probably down for roughly an hour now. It's quiet. It's not silent or anything. It's just quiet. Beautiful night sky. You still have enough light to see because there's still a few, magic lanterns. Some, really a few, to basically guide through the major streets of the city. Plus the natural light from the big moon that Oria has. And the many, many stars that shine down upon you. It's a very clear sky. So what do you want to do? Do you want to go to the marketplace? Do you want to go sleeping? What is the agenda here now?
I would like to go to the marketplace.
I follow.
And you want to find someone that sells arrows at this time?
Yes.
Make me a d20. On an even roll, there is someone open. On an odd roll, there isn't.
Two.
That means they're just about to close. Basically, there's this you could say adventuring gear shop. They have ropes, they have everything, they have simple armor, simple weapons, and they also have some arrows. And they're basically just pulling everything inside the building, right? They have some stuff outside, things, some racks, some signs, and they're basically putting those into the store already. So what do you do?
I would like to approach them. Good evening.
Good evening. Yeah, we're about to close. What do you need, sir?
I would need some arrows.
Some arrows. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Please come in. Please come in. How many arrows? As they're walking to the counter, they ask you how many arrows do you need?
16.
16 arrows. Yeah. Sure. We can do that. Do you want to upgrade to 20? That would be a special price for today. 20 arrows are a full pack and a quiver. You get the quiver for free.
Sure. Why not?
And you can buy 20 arrows and a quiver for the price of 20 arrows.
Great. Do you also, and I take a quick look back to Aiden and Maisie, something we could use to tend wounds if we get any? I'm talking about a healer's kit.
A healer's kit. A metal. Yeah. I should have something like that in the back. And they go behind some curtain to the back area of the shop. You hear them rummaging around a bit.
Mm-hmm.
You're not trying to steal anything, right?
No.
Just checking, because players are pro to that. No. Okay.
Wrong character for that.
They come back with this small satchel, basically, where you can see a few bandages, a few herbs maybe, and some alcohol to basically sanitize the wounds. And they give you that, and you can also pay the price of a healer's kit for this. Is there anything else you need?
Not that I know of. Anyone of you?
No, I'm good.
Okay, then please. I don't want to be rude, but I want to close up shop. I've been open for too long today. And pull in a few more signs and one of the last racks they have outside. And then basically, as you guys step outside, they also step outside and close the door and lock the door behind them. And then say, please come again and run off.
Great.
All right, so back to camp and some reading?
Yes. I guess we will be able to go through the books today.
Macy, make me a perception check.
All right.
He whooped us. Ah, the turntables.
He wasn't even the store owner.
Big brain move.
Oh, that's a natural 20.
Natural 20. Perfection. Then you're on the market square, basically, and there's also a park nearby. And right next to that park is a building, a two-story building. It seems to be another shop or something.
Mm-hmm.
And on that roof, you see, where the others are already turning back to the refugee camp and going, you see something sitting there and looking at you. You don't trust your eyes at the beginning, but it seems to be a fox. And it's snow white. It's a white fox sitting there looking at you.
I would like to look back and confirm that it's actually sitting there.
It's actually sitting there.
Is it moving?
No, it's just sitting and watching.
Hey, guys.
Yeah.
And I point towards the rooftop.
As you point towards the rooftop and turn around, it's gone after that.
No.
What about whatever you're trying to show me?
Let's walk. And while I start moving, I say, there was a white fox on the rooftop, and it was watching us, and I'm not sure how it came there, where it went, or why was it watching us? Why is this city so weird?
A white fox.
A white fox. On a rooftop.
Sorry, as you say, why is the city so weird? You see, I don't know, in an alleyway, hip hop, walking off into the distance, and I don't know, doing some moves with his arms as he walks, because he's so fucking cool.
The man, the myth, the legend.
Hip hop makes.
Yeah, maybe you need a good night's sleep.
I was not imagining it. It was there, really.
Wouldn't my passive perception have caught that with an 18?
21.
Okay, no. Caradian, you would have maybe noticed that there was something white on top of that roof, but you thought it was just a fucking flag or something, but not a fox.
Maisie, are you sure it was a fox?
Yes, it's been watching us. I'm sure. I really am.
Well, I mean, yeah, there was something, and it looks like now it's gone, but...
Yeah, see, and I tell it was a fox. It was looking at us, and I was looking at it, and then I called you, and then it was gone. Really, I lost quite a few ounces of blood, but I'm still capable of, you know, looking around. You have to believe me. I can't explain.
I have no reason not to, so yeah.
Yeah, especially after the events of today. I believe you, but still, is night sleep would, I think, for everyone here.
Yeah.
Be good. It was a long day.
I mean, I would still like to at least look or skip through the books, even though I'm tired. I'm really tired.
I think you guys can make your way back to the refugee camp.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So you make your way back. It's late. Many people have already gone to sleep. You see still some group sitting and talking, but in a hushed tone to not wake anyone up. Some are playing cards. Some are playing dice games. Most are just sitting around. Maybe some are just standing there watching the night sky, doing whatever you can do at night. You guys can go to your sleeping places and basically bed down for sleep, read the books, whatever you want to do.
Yeah, I would try to read one of the books.
Mm-hmm. Which one are you reading?
I would like to read The History of Oria.
Okay, that's not a book you have.
Yeah, I would like to read The Adventures of...
we had Legends of Past Lives, right?
And of Edge Long of the World. Past Lives, yeah.
Legends
Edge
of
the
Long
World,
Past
Lives. It's a voyage, yeah. Red Adventures, not history.
Adventures.
Okay.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. Please, let me recount the names of the books. Legends of Long Past Lives.
Yes.
At the Edge of the World. A voyage book.
Yes.
The Mysteries of Uria.
Mysteries. Okay, great.
Then The Mysteries of Uria.
Thank you. Is okay. I just wanted to confirm who is reading what, if they all are reading. But Histories, I was like, do you mean Mysteries, right? And then Adventures, I was like, wait. Adventures?
Here. Yeah. I mean, it's all the same thing, right?
I mean, Adventures definitely was wrong. No, yeah, you can read that book, obviously. I just wanted to confirm which one is who of you is reading what, if you're all reading.
I would take the last one.
Yeah, and I would like to take at least a quick look at The Legend of Long Past Lives.
Okay, so The Legend of Long Past Lives is a collected book of short stories about supposedly ancient people that have lived, not an ancient culture, but people that have lived 500 years ago or something, right?
Mm-hmm.
You can skip through, and most of these stories are like 3 to 5 pages long, recounting their epic tales, how they have slain dragons, how people have went to hell and came back, and that sort of stuff. But there isn't something that strikes you as a story that is important to you immediately,
mm-hmm.
because you're just skipping through, right?
Yes, yes.
I'm not giving you a role to find out. The Mysteries of Uria is kind of, you could say, a book that talks about unexplainable things in Uria. Things that don't make really sense. Hypotheses about how these things could make sense. And it talks about everything from strange magic, strange creatures, strange occurrences, to curses, to magical changes to people. Yeah, and all of that kind of stuff. Unexplainable things. It's basically just recounts what people have found. It doesn't give nearly any answers, but it has just the information that there are things that are unexplained and things people do not understand, and that's in that. And Macy takes At the Edge of the World, a voyage book.
Okay.
It's a novel that is supposed to be based on truthful stories. It's supposed to take you through the adventures of one certain Captain Cook.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Captain Cook.
Okay.
On the Dawn Chaser, his trusty ship, basically around the world, meeting every continent, learning about the people, understanding them. But I think all of you fall asleep before you could make really any investigations into your books, except yes. One of you wants to painstakingly stay awake.
No, definitely not.
Before we fall asleep.
Yes.
Considering the fact that we've been attacked today because of the books, presumably, mm-hmm. and there have been other attacks on books, and we still have those books. I would like to, I would prefer if not all of us are asleep at the same time. Even though we are safe here in the camp and stuff, I am not sure whether we should trust the environment. Yeah, what do you think?
Yeah, sure. Having a lookout.
Yeah,
heard.
I would like to maybe be the first one on lookout.
Okay. Macy sure. takes first watch.
I don't care which watch I take. Just wake me, whoever wants me to take the next one.
What he says.
So Macy's going to decide who has the second watch.
Exactly.
Macy, yes. While you're watching, make a perception check for me.
Okay. Me a second?
Sure. I can wait.
Perception, you say, right?
Perception.
It's a 23.
Okay, very good. The tents you are set under are basically on these poles, strung up on these poles that are reaching out of the ground so that you can get a lot of people under them, right? Mm-hmm. And somewhat save them against rain and stuff. And as you're sitting there, you can obviously look outside. And on one of these poles of one of the other tents, you once again see this white fox sitting there in the coolest anime pose that you can imagine on this pole, on this way too small pole for it, sitting there and just looking at you.
Does it look hostile or is just like...
No, it just looks...
Interested.
I think the best way you can describe it is it's curious.
Curious, okay.
But obviously it's kind of mystical and mysterious in the way that it's a white fox that's watching you.
Yeah, it doesn't happen every day.
Exactly.
As long as it doesn't look hostile and it's just curious, I would continue with my watch and try not to be too distracted by the fox.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and as you look away once and look back again at some point, it's gone.
Oh, okay. That's not creepy at all. All right. Yeah, I'm still kind of looking for it. You know, when I skip the environment, just like, yeah, are there any people? Or maybe a fox? I don't know, maybe.
I think that at some point you see it behind someone's... There's this smaller tent set up where people put their bags and something under, and you see it basically walking behind that.
Okay.
It doesn't appear on the other side anymore. Maybe it's gone, maybe it's just waiting behind. But it has disappeared there once again.
Okay. No, I won't follow it or anything. Mm-hmm. I'm just, you know, I'm curious as well, because it's indeed a very unusual thing. And when my watch is over, I would like to wake up Aiden.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Hey, Aiden wakes up.
Wake up.
I'm awake. Yeah.
Nothing happened except I've seen the fox again, but it seemed to be just curious and not, you know, hostile or anything. And it's gone anyway, so just so you know.
All right. Then.
Good watch and good night.
Sleep well.
See you.
Aiden, I would like you to make a perception check as well for me for this watch.
That would be a 16.
You think at some point during your watch that you see a glimpse, and this is really just basically just a shadow or a hush of a white fox somewhere in the camp.
Mm-hmm.
But it's gone so fast that you cannot really trace it. But that's all you see.
Alrighty.
And your watch goes on without any other occurrence.
Then I'll wake up Caradian.
My turn.
Yes, it is. And just so you know, Maisie saw the white fox again, and I may have seen a glimpse of it, but I'm not sure. It was gone too fast. Just so you know.
Mm-hmm. Caradian, I would like you to make a perception check for me.
11.
11. Okay. You do not see a fox at night. And the day breaks. Camp is waking up around you, and I don't think that you necessarily are waking the others up, because they're gonna wake up at some point anyway.
Yeah.
But yeah, you all wake up the next day refreshed. You all get to take a long rest. You all get to whatever that means for you. Heal all damage, gain all features back, and all of that stuff. And it's a new day. And what does this day have in store for you guys?
I would definitely like to read the books again, not just skip through it.
Sure.
You guys?
A more thorough read of the book would be good.
Mm-hmm.
And then, if I remember correct, we have an appointment with the professor today.
For Mr. T, yeah.
Yeah, the appointment with the professor where he is supposed to tell you what he found out, if he has found out something.
Exactly.
Where you were supposed to meet with him at his house.
Oh
yes.
No, he's dead.
Foreshadowing.
Should have gone to his house and checked. You could have saved him.
Yeah, we could.
Reading's not a big deal. What?
Basically, you're all gonna spend your morning reading the books. Do you go to the city at all or whatever?
Guys, how about investigating the alleyway where they came from to see if we find any clues on that?
Sounds good. Sounds good.
Sure. It's a good idea.
But let's
grab breakfast first.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, yes.
As you sit down for breakfast, you maybe discuss what you're doing for the day. Do you want to go to the alleyway? You want to meet the professor? You want to read the books? Maybe investigate something else? But as you get breakfast and get ready for the day, we're gonna end this episode of Titan's Call right here. And we'll see where you guys go next in episode 13.
Oh, yeah.
No.
As long as we don't record on a Friday.
No, we always record on Tuesdays.
Yeah,
should know that by now.
I know.
Yeah, so thank you all for listening. Thank my players for playing with me. It was a lot of fun to play this session with you guys. And I cannot wait to find out what information, what mysteries, and what things you will uncover next time.
Same.
Yeah, we can
and
find
thank
out.
You.
So, yeah, I think we have nothing else to discuss for this episode. So we can just say thank you all for listening. And we will hear you next week. Bye.
Bye-bye.